Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The gospel readings for each of the Sundays in the season of Advent have naturally centered on the theme of the season itself, that is, the coming of Jesus Christ. First week saw Jesus enter into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, Holy Sunday, to the tune of thousands of cheering followers. Last week took us to the shores of the Jordan River, where John the Baptizer announced the coming of the Messiah promised long ago and reintroduced each and every time the Passover meal was celebrated amongst the Jews. Next week will take us directly into the Nativity story proper, when the announcement is first heralded to Mary the Virgin that she would be the Theotokos, the God-bearer. This week's gospel keeps us at the Jordan River for a moment longer. The Apostle John begins his gospel by talking about the baptizer, John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The Apostle John makes it clear that John the Baptizer himself was not the light. That is, John was not the Christ, the anointed one, the long-promised one. Rightfully so, then, John the Baptizer preached so that people might believe through him. John was to be the conduit through whom people came to believe in Jesus, the Christ, the long-promised one. But John the Baptizer was not to be the focus, the center of their belief. The same remains true for all of the Christians here today in this world, in this congregation, and for pastors as well. We may indeed speak as called by Christ himself in the stead and by the command of Jesus. But we are not the Christ himself. People will hopefully come to believe in Jesus through our proclamation and our teaching of Jesus. But we are never to be the focus of their belief. Still in the first chapter of his gospel, the Apostle John goes on to share the testimony of the baptizer, John. Priests and Levites, the clergy amongst the Jews, questioned the baptizer in order to feel him out, figure out exactly what was going on. They demanded to know if John was the Christ. And if not the Christ, then Elijah or the prophets. John said no to all of these, for he was none of them. Rather, he says this, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah said. In other words, I am the fulfillment of prophecy of the very great Isaiah whom you guys love and respect. You should really listen to my words and do as I say. Naturally, that was not good enough for the Levites and the priests gathered there. Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? There, John was the very forerunner of the long-promised, long-expected Jesus, the Mashiach Yahweh, the Messiah of the Lord. They refused to give him the time of day. Well, guess what, priests and Levite guys? I baptize with water, John says, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. Be ready. The Savior of Israel is coming soon. Even now, he is in your midst, John says. Does that not sound like the message the church still proclaims today? And it is. The same warning cry goes out to all who live, breathe, and have their being in this world, throughout every age and generation until the return of Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn from your sins and live, that you may have refreshing in your soul. Cry is still relevant today. That is why the church is here. God's message of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus the Christ alone, remains as urgent today as it was then in John's day, when Jesus first appeared in the flesh. And Jesus appears in the flesh even here and now today, and every day through the proper preaching of the word and the right administration of the sacraments. The Lord Jesus Christ worked through his forerunner for the sake of repentance of all mankind, that all would hear and turn. Today he works through his church that very same message. It is a task the church has taken seriously throughout its long history, though not as seriously by some. And that has been true throughout the church's existence. Even so, Jesus wants all people to be ready for his return, which will come like a thief in the night, when all the judgment will indeed commence on the last day. Jesus wants this. He wants everyone to be ready because he wants everyone to be saved. And if it were true that God did not want that, that Jesus did not want everyone to be saved, he would have stayed in heaven. If God Almighty was as cold-hearted as some of our fellow human beings, even some of our fellow Christians, think he is for allowing suffering in this world, and he never would have sent his only son to suffer and die in our place. And he never would have made sure that the truth of his salvation story was written down and preserved every last detail for every generation until the Lord's return on that day. Well, John the Baptizer was questioned about his identity as the Christ, John himself questioned Jesus about his identity as the Christ. You know the story, as John is in prison. He sends messengers to Jesus asking, "Are you the Christ? Or should we expect another?" John was trapped for rightly distinguishing between law and gospel and his duty, his vocation as a preacher, proclaiming to Herod his sin for marrying his brother's wife. John did not think that was part of the plan for him as the forerunner of Christ to be trapped in prison, his role as the way preparer to be bound in a cell. But Jesus sent word to John that John should recall the words of Isaiah, the very prophet whom John had a role, a big role in fulfilling in Israel. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn." Our Old Testament reading for this day, that passage from Isaiah 61 just read, surely paints the picture of all that the Messiah will come to do. And truly, we see those things happen in Jesus. Those who mourn are comforted as Jesus raises the dead. Freedom is proclaimed to the slaves through the word of forgiveness. The poor are given good news. A beautiful headpiece is given instead of blackening ash. Ancient ruins are built up once more as the temple is reconstructed, former destructions undone from the past. Jesus' earthly ministry is a beautiful thing in the land of Israel, for he busies himself doing all that God said he would do as the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus does not do that merely to prove a point. Jesus does not perform sign after sign, miracle after miracle, simply to announce that he is God in the flesh, though that is true. Jesus does all of these things in real time, in this world, because he cares for each and every person around him. Even today, we can see the fulfillment of those things in Jesus working through his church in this world. Through the gospel preached and taught, the Lord Jesus brings good news to the poor, that by faith in Jesus alone, they shall inherit all his riches. The gospel message of forgiveness of sins and eternal life with him gives hope to all those who are imprisoned for their crimes and those who are servants to masters. For the gospel has permeated into this world, so has the love and the concern, compassion for mankind been found in those places. So much so that the way of living usually improves as well, bringing restoration to lands once devastated, as hospitals, orphanages, retirement homes, and the like were initially founded by the church. All of this and more is a glimpse, a picture of what is still to come when Jesus returns in great glory. And he will. Celebrating his birth in Bethlehem, a real event in human history, as Luke makes sure we know by his details recorded, that prepares you here and now in this place for his return, a real event once more that will take place at some point in the future. Until then, heed the voice of John, both the apostle and the baptizer, and repent. Believe the gospel of Jesus, and in so doing, you are made ready for Jesus whenever he shall return. Amen. A peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until his return. Amen.